unclear if any of our aircraft have actually penetrated Iranian airspace. I saw a report about an hour or so ago where the Israeli side claimed that they now have air supremacy, that they've destroyed all the air defense systems for Iran, and now that it's virtual impunity, they can fly in there. I'm skeptical of that because I had talked to some an Air Force F-16 pilot, a U.S. F-16 pilot with 180-some-odd combat missions before, and he said that they were very concerned about how Americans would be able to penetrate the air defenses, the S-300, and the interlocking capabilities that they had throughout the country. It's a big country, four times bigger than Iraq, of course. And they were worried about that. Said it would take a resource-intensive problems to get through that kind of stuff. And for the Israelis to claim with their Air Force that they got all of it, I'm skeptical. But, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see what actually is produced.
Yeah, I am quite skeptical of it because I read the opposite. I read that Iran was saying they've not allowed Israel to have the air superiority. They have control over the air. And they're actually hitting our will. Now, one of the things me and you discussed about 10 days ago, and you said is, based on your knowledge of the kind of armory they have there, that they might have enough to last, you said, about 7 to 10 days. But since then, they built up, so maybe you can add more to it. So from the U.S. perspective, they want to hit a quick strike, I believe. Israel came out and said initially that there was, I believe Israel, the U.S. said that it's going to be a four-day expedition. They then said, no, it's going to be a week. And then I heard a report immediately after that, say, no, the first stage is going to be only a week. So how long do you think they plan to go for this? What's the original plan? And then what do you actually think they're going to go?
You know, that may be the original plan, to say that they're going to go for a week. The Jack Keane, the chairman of the Institute for the Study of War and former four-star general in the U.S., said earlier this morning that this is a multi-week campaign. He said this is going to be a long-term thing. This is not just going to be a one-off. This is something that's going to be many, many weeks in the process here. I'm a little skeptical because I don't know that we have that much ammunition. And what we haven't seen so far, from what I've been able to gather from people who have knowledge about weapons loads and magazine sizes, et cetera, on some of these ships and some of the things we've taken to the region, is that we could sustain somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks, depending on how frequently you fired, some really heavy barrages for a long time before you're going to have to either radically slow down or get resupplied or do both. And so far, we haven't seen that. We've seen a modest amount of air power, at least what's been reported from the United States. So they may be saying, "All right, let's don't like expend all this in a big, huge show of force quickly." Maybe they're trying to like spread it out so they can get a little bit more time if they needed to. Maybe to give more time for the political activities to happen, or more time to see if the Iranian people, the opposition, is going to rise up and try and take control, which is what we're asking them to do. So they may be doing some of that to try to, I don't say keep your powder dry as much as reinforce it so you don't use all of it. But there is a limit to it. There's just not that much that we have to use because we've given so much of it away to Israel over the last 2.5 years and to Ukraine, of course, for the last 4 years. So you can't get into a long sustained thing without getting into critical low weapon stockpiles, especially of your air defense missiles and your offensive missiles. And you look, that's going to leave you vulnerable everywhere else. So the longer this goes, the more vulnerable we become worldwide. So hopefully this doesn't go that long, or we're going to be in some trouble.
Yeah, personally, when I looked at the strategy of Iran, I thought they'd played it quite well. And what I mean by that is they ignored the Abraham Lincoln. They focused on high pressure targets in Israel and the GCC countries. First stage, they didn't go for the oil fields. They went for the military bases. They tagged them quite well. And if you look at the stockpile they've got, you have your initial burst and then you're going to slowly go after that. That's the way I would have done it. But obviously, I'm not a military expert. You are. So tell us, you mentioned that you were shocked that they didn't go in hard. But isn't the peril of going in hard early that you end up depleting your stockpile? Now, I know they have a large amount of missiles, possibly up to anything up to 20,000. I know there's various reports. How would you have played it?
Yeah, I mean, I can just tell you how I would have done it. I would go in heavy at the beginning. Really? I would have had already, all right, here's my expenditure. Here's my total amount here. So I know what I've got. I'm like, I want this to last for at least you know, like 3 months, perhaps. So I would go in hard and heavy at the beginning, like the shock, my own kind of retaliatory shock and all. And then I would have a sustained rate, whatever that could be. And of course, all the time, you're still trying to manufacture more at your underground facilities to extend that time on the outside here. But that's one method. Or they can say, well, they're going to use a shorter amount and to try and to maybe drag that period out further. The risk of that, though, is that if you don't go in heavy and cause, you know, a bloody nose right off the bat, that the other side's like, okay, we can handle that. We can handle that level and that duration of fire. And then they don't feel the power or the pressure to compulsion to stop or to, change course or to negotiate or something like that. So I think there's a risk by not going in heavy at the beginning. But you know, I'm not the one in charge of the inventory. So I guess they have chosen a different path.
Now, one last question, because I know you need to go. When you look at the current situation, what Iran's been doing is they've been sending missiles for the last, since it started, it's been a continuous attack. At what point do you kind of then now kind of take your foot off the pedal? And as you said, you explained how you would do it over time. But even from like an intrinsic day perspective, would you target more the GCC countries now, or would you just now focus on Iran, Israel? Sorry,
I would focus equally on Israel and the United States if it were me, because those are the two principal adversaries. And you've already fired a shot across the bow. You've already got everybody's attention in the GCC countries, and you want to be able to live with them going forward. So you wanted their attention. So I think they've got that. Mm-hmm. But now then I think that you got to go after military capacity, because if you just keep going with symbols, then that's not going to stop the other side. So it seems to me that the most reasonable military thing, taking the flags off and just looking at, forget about nationalities or anything, is that you want to cause as many casualties as you can to make the populations in those places waver, to say, well, this is not worth it. We shouldn't be doing that. And so far, I haven't seen that. So I would imagine the rumors and the reports have been that Iran has tens of thousands of Shahids and various other kinds of drones. And I would have imagined that at some point, and we may still see it, to where they could have waves of, you know, 300 or 400 at a time, and then another wave of 300 or 400 intend to deplete, even if you say we're going to send it on a narrow front here. So you're going to have to suck down all of your air defense missiles here. And then before you can get another batch in, I've got a third and a fourth wave coming in, and you can have all kinds of damage. And we haven't seen either side do that yet. So I'm a little surprised by that. And I wonder if anybody's going to eventually get to there, because that's one of the best uses of Waze drone if you have the numbers.
One last question. It's just going to be a one-word answer. When you've basically got, when you're attacking with drones, when you're attacking with missiles, and as a ratio, how many defense missiles stop like drones? Is it 3-to-1? Is it 1-to-1?
To stop a drone, it can be 1-to-1. Typically, you want to fire two missiles for an incoming missile, but often you don't even want to fire a missile. You want to use machine guns or Gatling guns kind of thing. There's other kinds of things you can do against that, but typically you don't want to use those for anything besides missiles.
And missiles is 2-to-1.
Missiles is 2-to-1, yeah, okay, ideally.
Right. I appreciate you taking your time out and I appreciate you giving us your time. I know everyone can find you on The Deep Dive with Daniel Davis on YouTube. One of the best channels there is. Anyone who wants to know exactly what's going on in the war, that is the place to go. Also, your X page, which is Daniel L. Davis 1. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah. So everyone can join that. I did tag you, and it is in the nest as well, guys. So you can check that out, because we've got like 7,000 people, I think, on the space, and we've got 1,000 on YouTube.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, so everyone do check out Daniel Davis. Appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. I'm sure we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you.